हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, so then we have Paramatma Sundarbha, Adhyayana 3, Adhikarana 1. Anucheda 49. Maya has two portions, the Guna Rupa, or Maya portion, which is the efficient cause, Nimitta. Nimitta, footnote. This is known as Jiva Maya, which is described in Bhagavat Sundarbha, Anucheda 16, as follows. Jiva Maya is so called because its aim is the Jiva, his bewilderment. And its maya arises from the functions of vidya and avidya of the Lord's nimitta shakti. Taking support of this jiva maya at the beginning of creation, Brahma manifests avidya. Right, so everything in this world gets done by this avidya, this avidya shakti. Because you can say is one is gaining knowledge, but one is gaining knowledge of what? Let us say we are in a carpentry school, okay? And in this carpentry school, then, you know, we have classes on how to, you know, you have this kind of wood, you can carve it in this way, you can get these shapes and all that for these functions and all these, that. In other words, people have things that they do, a lifestyle they live. Therefore, we make furniture to match that, right? But then over in the corner, there's a bunch of intellectuals that are going, oh, but then the molecular compound of this and that and then this and this and then this was there and then this comes from a tree that was before this one and this was in this age and the dinosaurs used to eat that one and this and that. Does it have? Can you call that knowledge? No. You're working in a field of knowledge, but that doesn't mean it's knowledge. Because it's not accomplishing anything. So that's the thing, is that by pratyaksha, people collect knowledge, but what does it accomplish? You know, I mean, it means all of you have probably experienced that over this last year, there's been, you know, this pandemic thing, right? And so it's one disease, but how many opinions are there on how it works, what it does, who's going to die from it, who won't? Do you even need to wear masks or not? Top virologists will say the mask won't do anything for you. Other one says, you know, without it, you're going to die in, you know, before you, you know, get your first breath in. So how are we dealing with real knowledge here? So this is the whole point. You can see exactly how the modern academy, though it professes to be working in knowledge, it's only that knowledge which works today for economic development. As far as social development goes, the modern academy wouldn't have a clue. It spends its purpose destroying any currently accepted social norms to break them down. You know? And so then, you know, you come up with this whole thing. Does that make sense? So it's so funny. They do things just like just saw a news thing come out that I'm not sure. I think it's... I'm not sure who approved it. May have been the new president or whatever it is. That transgender can take part in the Olympics.
Which one?
Mental. See, the thing is, but now you're going to have men who are transgender women. Now, if they take part in, let's say, running or that in the women's Olympics, who's going to win? Yeah, and so the women are freaking out because we can't keep up with these guys. And so the political correctness is first to support women. Now it goes into this. Now women aren't supported. And so as soon as they start winning, everyone, it'll be a riot. And now what do you do? Because, oh, you can't say anything about them because they think they're women and all this and that. You know, but hey, what if you have, there's a cheetah over there. You know, it also thinks it's a woman. So, you know, it can take part, you know. Like that, 50-yard dash in, you know, 0.7 seconds, you know, like that, you know. New world record, you know. So that's the whole difficulty, is that they talk as if they have all knowledge when all they're talking is avidya. It doesn't actually improve the quality of life of the living entity. You can say, oh no, life is improved, so how is it improved? Is the air better in Bombay than it was 50 years ago? Is the lifestyle, means the quality of food, is it better? You know, what about the clothes that you wear? Before it was all khadi and silk and all that, and now you have all this other stuff. Of course, maybe it's a little bit of organic cotton and stuff like this and all that, that they charge 10 times the price, but whatever it is.
Organic cotton grown from urea.
From?
Urea. Chemical.
Yes. You know, so the whole point is how is it improved? The quality of food is not any better. People don't eat better food than they ate before. They don't breathe better air. They don't breathe better water. You know, it's like, you know, which one are you drinking? Bislarry, Bizarry, Bizarry, you know, like that. You ever see all these? I once saw someone say, I think the boys had it in the Gurukul. They had four or five of them lined up. Same, everything the same. The lettering, everything, but the completely different, you know, all forms of that. Really, really funny. You know, and so where did they get this from, you know? I mean, they were complaining that Bislarry was from a well in Calcutta. They say, oh no, it went down 800 feet, but it's still from Calcutta. What about these other guys? You know, it's not, you know, out of their tap, you know, it's out of their backyard. You know, it's like, who knows? So the quality of life has not improved. People will say it is, but it's not. That's the illusion. So how is anybody benefit? Is the quality of relationships better? So all these things, so they're just dealing in avidya. But they'll claim that they're so intelligent. So that's the thing, is they're analyzing things that don't need to be analyzed, and things that should be analyzed, they're not analyzing. So that is jiva maya. They're covered, and they don't identify themselves as the soul, and so they engage themselves in all other kinds of nonsense. That's jiva maya. Right? Because jiva maya doesn't bother anyone else. Krishna's not bothered. Maya's not even bothered. Right? Like that, the bricks, you know, earth, water, fire, air, ether couldn't care less. You know, like that. And the dravya rupa, or pradana, the material cause, upadana. Footnote 2, this is also called gunamaya. Right? So depending on how it is, the both of them can be called gunamaya. But if this one's being called, here's guna rupa and gunamaya. Okay. Because these differences are described in four verses. Now I shall describe to you Shankhya, which has been perfectly established by ancient authorities. By understanding this, a person can immediately give up the illusion of identity with the body. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.24.1 Udriti, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In the 24th chapter, the elements from which the universe evolves and into which it dissolves are described. It was understood from the song of the Yuvanti Brahmana that the cause of suffering was the self-identity of the subtle body, predominated by the mind. That false identity disappears when one distinguishes the Atma from the body. This is rooted in Shankhya. Therefore, the Lord teaches Shankhya. By Shankhya, one can give up the illusion of identity with the body. Vaikalpikam, Shardarta Darshani 11.20.24.1. The commentary of Sridhar Swami says, quote, from the unity of Paramatma arises all duality through Prakriti and Purusha, Jiva. Again, that duality merges into Paramatma. A person who understands this destroys duality. To say this, the Lord praises Shankhya. Pradana means Prakriti. Right? So the whole point is self-realization means that you come to the point you understand you're the soul, not the body. Mm-hmm. And so understanding you're the soul, not the body, then you're going to come to that position where then you can appreciate what the soul should be doing. Yes. Right? Then it comes into the positive, where then you want to serve that supreme soul. Mm-hmm. You know? We were discussing yesterday, is that you have the, what is it? I think it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining that you have the living entities who are actively inimical towards the Lord. Right? All the karmis and all that. Then you have the jnanis, or the mayavadis, then they're passively aggressive towards the Lord. Because they claim to be the Lord, this, that, so they're not a godlike position. But they're not actively necessarily doing something that is inimical, but their attitude is inimical. Right? Then you have the brahmavadis, which aren't inimical towards the Lord, but they're also not necessarily favorable towards the Lord. Right? So they're in what's called absolute neutrality. Is they just seeing everything as Brahman. So it's they're perfectly fixed in that central state. But then, you know, but still it's temporary because that's not the natural state of the jiva. That is the influence of the Samvit Sandini and Hladini on the jiva tattva. But it's not the natural state of the jiva. That is just, you could say, the mechanics they work with. And then you see the Shanta Bhaktas, that is positive neutrality. Because now it's directed towards the Lord himself as a person. Right? So you have to move up through these aspects. So the first aspect, that's not going to be very useful. Right? The second aspect, it has some elements where you're understanding you're not the body and all that, and following sadhana, that is useful. But the attitude's still a problem. Then the absolute, then that is the position of self-realization. But the self in connection with the Lord, then that's positive neutrality. Then you can say, now that's proper self-realization. And then from there, you move forward to a direct relationship with the Lord. You understand? So you're trying to change the mentality. Is that?
Yes, I think it is confirmed by that episode and when the Kumaras, they were Brahmavadis.
Yes.
And then they actually, by connecting with the Lord,
right,
they shifted from that
absolute neutrality.
No, actually, they shifted to the positive neutrality.
No, but from absolute neutrality.
Yeah, from absolute neutrality
to positive.
To positive neutrality.
Okay.
Attaining that position of the Shanta Bhaktas.
Okay.
When they smell the tulsi and have the darshan of Vishnu. Mm. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains in terms of the five levels, pratyaksha, paroksha, aparoksha, adokshaja, and aprakrit. Then they were on the higher level of aparoksha and turned into adokshaja level. That was the shift.
So, okay.
Because aparoksha has two levels.
Okay.
The passive hostility, Bhaktivinoda Thakur called it hostility.
Okay, passive hostility.
And then active hostility.
Okay.
So then that shift happened to the Kumaras when they had the darshan of the Lord. From
passive.
Yeah, well, it was actually neutral, completely neutral. And then to the service
to the positive.
Yeah.
Then the adhoksaja then is that positive aspect.
Yes, adhoksaja means Vaikuntha.
Okay.
Where the Shanta and Dasya Bhaktas are there.
Okay, and then
aprakrit is Golok.
Oh.
Aprakrit. Yeah, that's the realm of Radha Krishna here.
Okay. So adhoksaja means what's below lower Goloka and Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. That's in that little notes of the Bhagavatam that we study.
Okay. Okay. Nice. You know where that's from?
Essay on the Bhagavad.
Oh, Essay on the Bhagavad. Oh, okay, that one. Okay.
Hmm. What's this unity of Paramatma?
From the unity of Paramatma resides all duality through Prakriti and Purusha. Means that means. This is. Let's see the verse. Now I should describe to you Shankya, which has been perfectly established by ancient authorities. By understanding this, a person can immediately give up the illusion of identity with the body. So I don't see the aspect before, but unity of Paramatma means how Paramatma has entered all these things and makes everything work, because then that's going to bring it all together through this aspect of, because the point that's being made is the two portions, so that Rupa, Gunamaya, and the what do you call it? The Jiva Maya and the Guna Maya and the Jiva. So that combination there, because it's Krishna's potency, that making it work, then you're going to get the duality. Because you can't get duality except from the Lord, because the Lord is everything. He's non-dual, so even the duality is Him. So it has to come from Him. Then only it happens. So then when you see is that it's coming from the Lord, and then when you understand the Lord, and that then that's brought back to the Lord, then you become self-realized. So in other words, when you understand that the material energies come from Krishna, the jivas from Krishna, so that means the material energy is serving Krishna, and we're supposed to be serving Krishna, then you become self-realized. But when we don't see Paramatma, or from, that when we don't see the Paramatma, then we're going to have that problem. Does that make sense? But the, because the whole thing is it all comes from, because we like to look at it from our perspective and try to get an absolute understanding from our perspective, but that can't be accomplished. It means you can only get a proper understanding when you're looking at it from Krishna's point of view, and then how we fit into that. That actually gets the position. Right?
Yes. Point moves on. For next
point. Point moves on. Okay. Anucheda 50. Originally, during Satyuga, this is the next verse. We didn't do the Vritti. Okay, so he's going through all four verses. Vritti, the next Anucheda states that the Maya Shakti originates from the Lord because He alone exists before the creation and everything merges back into Him after annihilation. Anucheda 50. Originally, during Satyuga, when all men were expert in spiritual discrimination, and also during the period of annihilation, the seer and object seen were merged in Brahman. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.24.2. The commentary of Sridhar is as follows. Atta means completely. The seer, Jnanam, and all objects to be seen by him, Arta, were merged, avikalpitam, in Brahman, ekam. In the third canto it is said, O great Lord, the soul of the souls alone existed before the creation of the universe, when the desire to create bodies of the jivas was absent. Utriki, Srila Prabhupada. The personality of Godhead is described herein as the master of all other living entities. He is like the sun disk, and the living entities are like the molecules of the sun rays. The existence of the Lord before the creation is confirmed by the Shrutis. Vasudevo va idam agra asit na brahma na chashankya eko vai narayana asin na brahma neshanaha. Because everything that be is an emanation from the personality of Godhead, He always exists alone without a second. He can so exist because He is all perfect and omnipotent. Everything other than Him, including His plenary expansions, the Vishnu Tattvas, is His part and parcel. Therefore, before the creation, there were no Karanodakshai, or Gabardaksha, or Kirodakshai Vishnus, nor was there Brahma, nor Shankara. The Vishnu plenary expansion and the living entities, beginning from Brahma, are separated parts and parcels. Although the spiritual existence was there with the Lord, the material existence was dormant in Him. By His will only is the material manifestation done and undone. The diversity of the Vaikuntha Loka is one with the Lord. Just as the diversity of soldiers is one with and the same as the king. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.7, the material creation takes place at intervals by the will of the Lord. In the periods between dissolution and creation, the living entities and the material energy remain dormant in him. The word Bhagavan is here equivalent to Brahman, since they are one entity according to Vedanti Tat Tattva Vidas. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. At the end of the discussion, the Lord says, "Thus I, the perfect seer of everything, material and spiritual, have spoken this knowledge of Shankya, which destroys the illusion of doubt by analysis of creation and annihilation." Srimad Bhagavatam 11.24.29. Thus it is clear that the form of Bhagavan remains, since the Lord is described as the perfect seer of everything material and spiritual. Para vara drisha maya. When was this condition? The oneness arose when people were very intelligent at the beginning, Satyuga, and appears again at the time of Pralaya, Ayuge. Right, so this point of where you're able to perfectly see everything, Satyuga you have that, and when everything is destroyed you have that. In between that, in the other yugas, then they get a bit bewildered. Driti, having stated, so that means the Yuga Dharma is to bring you to that point. You know, where you can see things properly and then come to establish a positive relationship with the Lord. That's the whole point. Driti, having stated that the Lord is the cause of Maya, the metaphysics of her manifestation is described next. Anucheda 51. Tan Maya phala rupena kevalam nirvikalpitum kalpitam. Van mano gocharan satyam vidha sama bhavad brihat. The one real entity, remaining free from material dualities, divided himself into two categories, in a way which was beyond mind and words, with a manifestation of Maya which was glanced upon by Brahman. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.24.3. Udriti, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. That one entity, the great Brahman, became two in form. Maya, his external energy, and the Jiva, Tatastha Shakti, the enjoyer of matter. These are described. Brahman is without difference, nirvikalpitam, since the other two are his energies. They are beyond words and mind, since Prakriti is unmanifested, and the Jiva is very small. They are both called Satyam because they are both real. Sardartha Darshani 11.24.3. Sridhar Swami's commentary says, "The Brahman, Brihat, became two, in the illusory or playful form of Maya glanced upon by Brahman, that Maya is the special manifestation, phalam, of Brahman. This act was beyond words and mind." So all this is happening before the creation. So that Maya is there, Maya is empowered, all the separators there, the jivas are there, they're covered by the illusion and all these, you know, so they're covered by all this Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. All this is happening before time and space. So it's before words, it's before, that's why you can't understand it by this. Now, this is a very, you know, you could say very intellectual discussion, but it can only be understood by devotees. Non-devotees can't understand it. And even devotees won't understand it by intellect. They'll understand it by devotion. Yes. Right? They use the intellect as a tool, but the tool itself won't accomplish the job. Does that make sense? Yes.
So when previously it was mentioned then that the one desired, is it referred to Karanda Kashaya Vishnu?
Whether it's referring, because before it said even he wasn't there.
Right.
So it has to be that Krishna himself is desiring that. So that means he will do that through his Vasudeva portion. Because in Krishna you don't find any, there's that potency of the material energy, even though Of course, everything's in Krishna, but it doesn't feature in his personality. But starting with Balaram, that feature is there, though dormant. So with Vasudev, then you would be able to, that aspect then can be generated. So then from him, then is coming Mahasankarshan. And then Mahasankarshan will then make, will expand as Karana Dakshai Vishnu. Then you'll get that direct mentality of I'm the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like I said, the Kriya Shakti is producing the spiritual world, but it's not as such produced, it's just manifest, it's revealed. And so you don't have that, you don't have creation there. Only the maintenance aspect. But in the material world, you have a creation and then a disillusion, because there's a temporary manifestation. On the spiritual world, it's manifest, and then it's there eternally. So there's not going to be any disillusion. You know, does that make sense? So this whole thing of, you know, people getting bent out of shape about a nadi, it happens before time. You can't, then how are you discussing it? Because you're discussing on time, but it happened before time. And then, once it's manifest, it's there eternally. So, yes, you can say there's a beginning. But the point is that that beginning happens before time. So there is no time. There is no beginning.
Yes.
It's always been there. It's just a matter of manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difficulty, is that we want to, with our intellect, try to apply it according to time and space, according to our logic. Mm-hmm. And depending upon how good our logic is, then, you know, we do better in discussions or not.
I mean, we used to an idea that one which has the end has the beginning.
Yes.
But the karma mentioned it's anadi.
Yes.
But it has the, I mean, it's without beginning, but we can end that.
Yes.
So this doesn't fit into the box of how we think about it. That which has an end should have a beginning, but it doesn't.
Yes, that's the thing. And that is eternal, then, you know, should not have a, you know, so that's the point. It's that it's happening outside of time and space. And so then that's why using the intellect you'll never understand. You know, and then people will value that and say, then it's not real knowledge. But as we discussed before, the things they analyze, of what purpose is it? You know, of what purpose is it? How does it affect our lives? We're saying, oh, but modern academy is so much, so much knowledge is coming and benefiting everybody's lives. But I'm sure that there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of PhDs that are kept in the thesis is kept in university libraries, and a very small percentage of them, you know, probably a percent of a percent, actually has anything that's useful in the present world that people are doing. You know, and that will probably more be in medicine, engineering, you know, IT, those things. But all the other stuff, you know, the ones that are complaining, no. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is that you can't understand. And like you say, it doesn't make sense. How can somebody not have a beginning, but it can have an end? Or how can something have a beginning, but not have an end? But that's the point. That's the spiritual. It's beyond all this. Material, you can tell it has a beginning and an end. That's how you know it's within the Mahatattva. So it's just a matter of accepting Krishna's energies, Krishna and Krishna's energies as they are. And then things work very nicely. And if you don't, then it doesn't.
I need to go because boys have exam today.
Oh, okay. Okay. Vritti, the two divisions of the Maya Shakti are detailed in the next Anucheda, Anucheda 52. Tayor ekataro hyarta prakriti shobayatmika. Jnanam Tvanyatamo Bhava Purusha Purushasso Vidhiyate. Of these two energies of manifestation, one is Prakriti, which embodies cause and effect. The other is the conscious living entity, designated as the Jiva. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.24.4. The commentary of Sridhar Swami says, of the two divided parts, tayo, one is the form of cause and effect, ubayatmika. Right? So one is cause and effect. That's the material energy. Right? And the other is what that energy is acting upon. Vishnu Purana 1.2.24 says, Purane Vishnu Sarupat Parato hi te nye rupe pradhanam purushas cha vipra. O Brahmana, from the sarup of Vishnu appear two other forms, pradhana and the jiva. The commentary says, from the sarup of Vishnu, who has no upadis, parataha, the two entities, pradhan and purusha, anye, created by maya, become manifest. Footnote 3. Though the pure jiva is beyond the material energy, in the conditioned state, he is illusioned by maya and identifies with the material actions. Thus, he is referred here as being created by maya. Mm-hmm. Right? The Lord spoke thus the verses. So, in this way, because means we're taking it, there are two parts. You can say there's the material energy, there is the jiva. At the same time, as if you see, like here, it's talking about cause and effect of the illusory energy. Then the conditioned jiva, he identifies with the material energy. And so therefore he's taking part in that aspect that we saw before of nimitta, effect. Right? He's taking part in the world and trying to transform the material energy to get some particular effect. So in this way he becomes an instrument in the efficient cause. And because he takes part, he takes the credit. And the material nature is so kind, he gets the credit. The karma goes to him, not to someone else. Right? Does that make sense? The reaction for the activity goes to Maxwell, not his hammer. You understand? Does that make sense? No? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that something is done with the hammer, but the hammer doesn't get anything, because the hammer doesn't claim I'm doing, though it is actually the one doing. But the jiva, then they claim I'm doing this, so they get the credit for it, so they get the reaction. Right? So that's why you see in the Dasamul, first is described jivas as a tattva that are beyond the material energy. Then you describe those who are controlled by material energy and those who are therefore acting beyond that. So one is you're just describing the nature of the energy. Then you're describing in the active sense how some act within maya and how some act within the spiritual world. Because it has to be one of those two. Right? So when they come to a positive relationship with the Lord, favorable, then they work in the spiritual world. And if it's unfavorable, or even just pure neutral, they are within the material world. So, does that make sense? So that way you can count the jiva as the one, because the jiva maya, that's where he's taking part. The jiva is illusioned by that, and then he's using the material energy as the ingredients to be engaged in his maya. So in this way you can say there's the jiva who's illusioned and maya. Or you can say there's the covering of the jiva and the ingredients of maya as one thing, and then the jiva as a separate thing, depending upon which thing you want to bring out. Yes.
So, can we say that the maya takes form as a nimitta and upadana, and then the part of nimitta as an instrumental cause,
yes,
the jiva comes in and,
yes,
then acting, thinking, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer,
yes,
reaping all the results of the bad and the good karma.
Yes. Yes. It's just like you have the original cause, Krishna,
right,
then you have the formal cause,
yes,
which will be his internal potency that he's working with to to create all the different, you know, how his energies work according to his desire. So in other words, they're what cause everything. Right? Within the spiritual, the material world. Then you have within the material world, you have the jiva who thinks he's the efficient cause. And then you have the material energy which he works with. Though technically the material energy is the ingredients and the cause, you know, through the gunas and all that. And the jiva identifying with those gunas, then he takes part as an instrument. So that's then how their relationship's there. It's just how far down you want to take it. But you have those four aspects of cause and effect. So, yeah. Riti, the classification of the Maya Shakti according to the different functions of the Amshas is detailed in the next Anucheda, Anucheda 53. Elsewhere, the difference is described according to the different functions of the Amshas, called substance, Upadana, and efficient cause, Nimitta. Right, so you're seeing what's the difference between the substance and the efficient cause, because the substance is going to be what it's made out of, the 24 elements. And then the efficient cause will be then using those 24 elements to accomplish something. Right? But in there, you're going to see is that there has to be a covering on the living entity to think that he's the one to take part in that transformation. Does that make sense? Because you can say as Maya, because Maya means she's the ingredients and through the three modes of nature, she transforms herself. Right? You see the creation taking place and all that. But at the same time as the jiva identifying with it, he thinks, I'm the one doing this. You know, it's like the tree thinks it's growing. But it's that the modes of nature in that are making the earth, water, fire, and ether transform in this form as a tree. But because the jiva's there and identifying with it, therefore, that's why that earth, water, fire, air, the Mahabhutas are transforming as a tree. Otherwise, if there's no jiva there, Maya doesn't need to transform. Yes. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like the dirt is sitting there, you know, the same like our BTG picture, you know, 100 million years ago, there's that field. You know, 10 million years ago, 1 million years ago, today, it's the same field. Then some guy comes along, decides, digs up some of the dirt, and then builds a house out of it. So the point is, when the jiva is involved, then you'll see the nimitta. Then you'll see that effect. So that's why then the jiva can also, that's why it's jiva maya or guna maya. It'd be through the modes of nature transformation takes place. It's jiva maya because it's the jiva who's covered that's taking part in it and thinking I'm the doer. And then upadana just means it's ingredients. You have the mahabhutas and all that. That's pretty obvious. You're going to have that original storehouse pradhan. Then you're going to have, you know, something that we're working with here. And like that, and then we're going to do something. We're going to take the dirt, make it into bricks, make the bricks into a house, like this. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? But it's because jivas are there. That's why then you can say it's two. Maya and the jiva. And you're saying Maya has two parts. And then jiva is counted as one of them because it's the one who is acting as the instrument to make it happen.
Yes.
But not knowing he's the instrument, he thinks I'm the doer. So that's why it says if you understand this and how all this is coming from Vishnu, it comes from Vishnu, merges back into Vishnu, then you become liberated. Mm-hmm. Because you know I'm not actually part of this. Yes. I don't have to be part of this. Does that make sense? Yeah? Kalo daivam karma jiva svabhavo dravyam kshetram prana atma vikaraha tat sangato bija roha pravahas tvan mayaisha tan nishedam prapadye. Time, the agitator, fate, action or cause, the conditioned jiva, impressions, the sense objects, the Prakriti, Mahatattva, false ego, the 11 senses and 5 gross elements. The body, all this constitutes your material energy, Maya, an endless cycle like that of seed and plant. I take shelter of you, the negation of this Maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:63:26. So he says conditioned jiva. That's why the polluted consciousness is counted as one of the elements. And the 24 element is the 24. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that we're taking it that the jiva, yes, is not part of it, but the conditioning the jiva is. And so since the living entity identifies in that way, therefore then they become part of it. Does that make sense? Yes.
So technically we could divide these elements according to, well, jiva is there, the super soul is there, and then we could divide the rest of them as a nimitta and upadana.
Yes, means all the other elements are the upadana. Means because they're coming from pradhan, but the same elements are being used as the nimitta.
Right.
That's why sometimes you see the words, one is called guna rupa and one's called guna maya.
Yeah.
So the forms of the gunas and the guna itself. Mm-hmm. You know? So that's the, depending on which aspect you're looking. So it will, the names can adjust around to, how you say, the names are changed to, how you say, reveal the culprits. That makes sense. Yeah, so that's why it was, remember a few, I'm not sure if it was here or there were some verses back where there was the one point where it's making Paramatma be counted as the 25th because everything's coming from him.
Yeah.
So when it says polluted consciousness, that means there's a jiva there, but it's not technically counting the jiva proper. It's counting the jiva who's the conditioning of the jiva who therefore is identifying with material nature. Therefore, he becomes one of the 24 elements. You know? Does that make sense? You don't emphasize it too much because you don't want people to then think that, oh, I'm part of material energy. They're not. But then Mayavadis will take that and see, oh, it's all illusion. But it's only talking about the consciousness. It's not talking about the jiva itself. That's why then it says how they're beyond, how they're on the transcendental platform. So what he's trying to bring out here is that you have the Paramatma, who everything's coming from. Then you have the jiva and polluted consciousness. So then he's going to be one aspect. Then you're going to have the material nature, which will be the other 23 elements, right?
Yeah.
And so then, but at the same time as that polluted consciousness is the gunas, you know? So it's also part of the pradhan, so it's gunamaya. But it's also then, you know, so all those elements are coming from pradhan, and so therefore it's that gunamaya. But at the same time, all those parts can be used in transformation by the jiva, and therefore as the nimitta, or the effect there. Therefore, then it becomes the gunarupa, or the jivamaya.
Yeah.
So that's why it's the same thing, does both. That's why you can say is there's two parts like that, or you can take both of those as one, because you're going to have the same set of things. You know what I'm saying? The 24 elements, they'll be the same, whether you're counting it as pradhan or you're counting it as nimitta.
Yeah, so by contacting the jiva, the passive becomes active and then shifts. Not exactly shifts, they stay in their own positions.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Because you have to have ingredients, and then with ingredients you're active.
Right.
You know? So does that make sense? So you can say is that like pradhan is just everything there in its balance.
Yeah.
So you can have all the ingredients sitting in the kitchen. That's pradhan. But the same ingredients then will be put into the pan and all these things and that transformation will take place. So it's a separate thing. So you can say is, oh, it's nothing other than what's the kitchen, but at the same time it's different from the kitchen. And why is that happening? Because there's a living entity. Because Maya herself doesn't transform anything. You know, there's no need. It's only because of the jivas. That's why then in the spiritual world, the material energy doesn't need to manifest, because there's no cause for it. Because it only manifests for conditioned jivas. For liberated jivas, what's the point? The commentary of Sridhar Swami says, Kala is the agitator. Karma, or action, is the nimitta, or cause. Right? So action. That's what the cause is. So you're taking the same 24 elements, because then now you're applying them. That's cause. Yeah. Daiva is manifested for future results of action. Swabhava is the impression of daiva on the jiva. Right? So the impression. So means that all these impressions we call ourself. These are all coming from, you know, our past actions from karma. And we identify with them. And they're identified with us. And so, therefore, my action now is based on the environment around me in the context of my previous actions. It's not based on right now action. The action I do now, I'm only doing it in consideration of my previous actions. Right? Then, when I do that action, I'll get the result. Now, the result of that becomes part of my previous impressions. And now the next situation comes up. Now I will decide that based on there. That's why you see, as someone who, there's a repetition of things, they become very convinced about something. Others, well, you know, I like that. You have like if you one or two times done something, you may not be very convinced. Right? But if you've done something hundreds of times and gotten the result you expect, then you're very confident. Does that make sense? So it's based on those, that swabhava. And the thing is they're impressions, but we call that ourselves. You know? When you say, you know, what about me? What is this me? This dead matter that's there? No, it's all the impressions. Because the jiva is transcendental. The earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and all, and mind, intelligence, false ego couldn't care less. They're dead matter. So it's the impressions that the jiva has in their polluted consciousness. That's what they identify with, and that's the basis of all their action. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah, swabhava is the impression of daiva on the jiva. Right? Because, yeah. Jiva is the entity endowed with the daiva upadi. Right? So you have to have the jiva, because if there's no jiva, then none of this, it's just pradhan. All these elements will be there, but not manifest. Right? Kala, karma, okay. Jiva is the entity endowed with the daiva upadi, kala, karma, and swabhava. Right, so kala is the agitator, karma is the action, is the cause, daiva is the manifestation of future results of action. Then you're going to have your impressions. So the jiva is endowed with all these things. Right, he has his impressions, then he's the action he does that gives the future result, and you're going to have the kala time as something that makes things work. You know, does that make sense? You can say, well, how is time doing anything? Okay, great. Sit down in a room, do nothing. What happens? By time, you know, it's like you're sitting there, and you're fine. And then you go, oh my God, you know, it's been so much time. Now, what happens? You're agitated to do something. So time agitates. Otherwise, you don't do anything. Okay. Somebody says, yeah. So we're controlled by all these, and we think we're independent.
If Kali is neutral, then why some people are agitated more?
It means that's their previous impressions. Okay. So some person's used to sitting there for hours, so sitting there for 1 hour is nothing. And someone else is used to sitting there for 30 seconds, so therefore 45 seconds is an eternity. You know, that's why you can sit in the car, you know, and, you know, go for a few hours, and the kids are going, are we there yet? No, it'll be another 2.5 hours. Oh, okay. Oh. Are we there yet? You know, it's not like they wait for another half an hour. No, it's just, yeah. Dravya is the sense objects, is sense objects, right? Because what you're working with, the ingredients, right? Kshetram is prakriti, means the place, it's the prakriti itself, like that, and all its laws. Prana is sutra, prior to ahankara, means your life and all that. That's your why you do things, because you're alive. Then you have to, you know, I'm alive, I do stuff. You know, I say, I'm alive, I'm stupid. Right? You know, so like that. Atma is ahankara. Right, so therefore, because the whole atma or soul of the material energy is your false ego. There's no false ego. You don't work with the material energy.
Yes.
Vikara refers to the 11 senses and the 5 gross elements. Right, because they're what take forms and change. Right, 16 in total. Tatsangata is the body. All these are a cycle, pravaha, like a seed and sprout. Right, the seed goes into a sprout, that makes a tree that pops more seeds, and then they just sprout again. So that's karma, is just that's what it's doing. From the body comes the seed or action, karma. From that action comes a body, which is like a sprout of the action. From that comes another action or seed, which produces another body. This is the flow or pravaha. I worship Prapadye, you, Tat, who are the negation of this. So, yeah. So that's Sridhar Swami's comment. Good? Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.